Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello, Jocelyn. Welcome back. 1 week later. I gotta say, though, I think we recorded on a Friday last week, and...
We did, yeah.
Literally had no time to do any video games to discuss on this show. So, good night, everybody.
Yeah, we're done.
Yeah, we just wanted to get in here, say hello, intro, outro, boom, we're done. Checkmate, podcasting 101. I think we did it.
Exactly. Well, yeah, and I mean, I haven't played too much like new stuff either. I've just been like, we had a new raid that came out in WoW, obviously the new Hearthstone expansion. I've been obsessed with Dead by Daylight, but there's nothing really like new there. And yeah, so everything I'm playing is very much like more of the same, but in a good way, I guess. I don't really have anything to talk about per se this week in terms of what I'm playing, but I am excited and kind of like anticipating and waiting for Days Gone to come out. And so when that happens, then that's going to be the title I'm playing. But unfortunately, that's not even going to come out in time for next week. So be prepared for Jocelyn to play no new games.
Yeah, well, we've got some planning in the... I think we were talking about checking out Odyssey for next week, but of course, being a big game, that, I mean, might not happen, but we'll see. Easter long weekend coming up, might be able to find some time to boot that one back up. But yeah, it's kind of like that, it's calm before the storm. And Days Gone, I was gonna say, we couldn't even record late next week because Days Gone comes out on a Friday and I will be in a movie theater watching Endgame with someone else.
Exactly.
Several other people. Oh, we're gonna check out some cool video game stuff that weekend though, so we'll have plenty to talk about the next week.
I know, we're going to have so much to talk about because, like, so first of all, we finally got our board game table.
Ooh.
So we have our gaming table now, and it's put together in our dining room. It takes up literally the entire dining room. I think we made a little bit of a mistake when we went by. We have a 4x6 play area, and then there's, like, an extra foot, so it's really, like, a 5x7 table because there's, like, 6-ish inch, like... edging around the play area, so man, it's big.
So this
like,
is
once we got it all put together, I was like, oh man.
Yeah, and to remind folks, this was a kickstarted table you guys got. What was it called again?
Oh yeah, so okay, I'm gonna tell you guys what it's called, but the only reason I'm gonna tell you is because I want you to stay away from this company, like seriously, right? Don't touch them with a 10-foot pole. But it is the Table of Ultimate Gaming. And so we kickstarted it back in 2017. And when we kickstarted it, we backed it just after we bought our house. And so we bought our house in August 2017. So we backed it in September 2017. And they had a delivery date of February. So we were like, okay, fine. Because this company said on their Kickstarter that there were very little risk because they were already a furniture manufacturing company. So basically what they were doing was they were raising money to see if there was any interest in them producing a gaming table. So it's a really nice quality table, and it has like the play area can be shallow or deep, and it has like you can plug it into the wall, and it has outlets around all around the table underneath, so you can like charge phones and have iPads hooked up with stuff. And like it's a really nice table and a really nice concept. But the only reason we have a table right now is because basically I chased them down online and harassed them for like literally the last 2 months. So
were they intending not to give you the table? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, if I hadn't done that, we never would have gotten our table. And even then, we didn't get our table. We got none of the customization stuff that we like paid extra for when we ordered. And when we actually got the table, it had somebody else's name on it. So basically what they did was they did a Kickstarter. And then once the Kickstarter was completed, then they started sending people their tables, except for they also put up their own website, which offers returns and refunds. Kickstarter doesn't guarantee product, which is part of the problem with, or I guess it's not the problem with Kickstarter, but it's the big risk with Kickstarter. You giving money to a company on Kickstarter guarantees you absolutely nothing. You're basically saying, I believe in this company, I'm going to invest in it here.
You're going to support it. You're not even investing,
right? You're going to support it. Yeah, you're not even investing, exactly, because you don't even necessarily, like, you don't have any shares in the company or anything like that. So that's all fine and dandy. And that's a risk that we knew. But the thing that was so frustrating was that they opened up their own website and they were selling tables on their website. And people who were buying tables on the website were saying, oh man, it's taking so long. It's taking like 2 months to get my table. And we're like, whoa, wait, what? You guys who are buying on the website are getting tables, but people on the Kickstarter are being told that there's production delays and there's shipping delays and distribution delays, but people buying on the website seem to have no problem, albeit slightly delayed. Like it wasn't like, oh yeah, you'll have your table tomorrow, but they were getting tables. Mm-hmm. But we were like, okay, there's something really weird going on here. And then there were a few Reddit posts that went up, and they were people who had bought things through the website, which again offers refunds and returns, which isn't a feature of Kickstarter. And he was like, okay, I asked them to send me the table. They didn't send me the table. And then they basically said, you know, oh, production delays, blah, blah, blah. And then he said, okay, I want a refund. And then they're like, okay, we'll get you your table next week. And he's like, well, that's sketchy. Like, are there production delays or can you get me a table next week? So basically what we discovered through like searching around all over the place on Reddit and looking at like comments on the Kickstarter page and everything else was basically what they were doing was using the tables they had produced for the Kickstarter in order to fulfill orders taken on their website. So Kickstarter people's tables were sent to people who ordered tables on the website because there's no recourse for Kickstarter people. We can't ask for refunds. We can't ask for anything. So it's like, they had 1,000 tables made for the Kickstarter, and then they started taking orders on their website, and then they were like, well, we have these Kickstarter tables, we'll just give you these, and then we can fulfill your order quickly, and we'll just make all of these Kickstarter people wait forever. So it took almost 2 years, like just shy of 2 years, for us to actually get our table. Mm-hmm. And like I say, when we finally got it, and the reason why I started actually harassing them about it was because someone on Twitter shared a link to their website because they got licensing from HBO to make Game of Thrones tables.
Oh,
and because
yeah.
this was part of the thing is that there are sections on the table that are like removable that you can swap out, and they have like cool designs. There's like a Celtic design, there's dragons. The one we picked was little meeples. And there's like so many super cool designs, except for then they got this license from HBO and someone shared it like, oh my God, I want one of these tables. It's so cool. And I was like, oh, hell no. Like, let me basically say, like, don't deal with these people because they're super, super sketchy in their business practices. And you may or may not ever actually receive your table. And if you do, it might not actually be the one you ordered. So do now have a dining room table, which is nice after owning our house for 2 years. Right. But
So you got the table, and but it's not the one you paid for. So are you just kind of
we're just walking away at this point. We're like, we have a table in our dining room. It isn't the one that we ordered. We didn't get any of our custom choices or anything like that, but it's black and they gave us the purple mat. So we're just like, okay, this is what we wanted, was a black and purple table. We got that. So we're just walking away. We're not going to like push forward any further. And, but yeah, it was super, super frustrating.
Yeah.
And then, like I say, when we actually got all the boxes with all of the stuff for the table, because it came in a whole bunch of different boxes and obviously had to be assembled, there was like a big piece of paper on the top of one of the boxes that said like Brian Hodgson or something. And I'm like, we're not even close. Like, our last name isn't close to that. Neither one of our first names are close to that. Like, we're Matt and Jocelyn. Neither one of those names is anywhere close to Brian. So, Brian, if you're out there and listening to the sound of my voice, I'm really sorry because we've got your table, but you're not getting it because, goddamn it, somebody else has our table. So,
that is so weird. And the thing is, like, with Kickstarter, I've never backed anything over. I've never backed a stranger's Kickstarter over $100. And
which is probably the smart way to go about it. What we should have done was we should have waited until they opened up orders on their website and done it that way. Hmm. But the table that we got was about $1,500 and would have been over $2,000 had we waited, because there was like a Kickstarter discount, basically.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
No, I'm
we
not.
We decided we were going to try to save the money, but saving the money ended up costing us a year and a half of our time and headaches and everything else. So, yeah, total nightmare. Table of Ultimate Gaming. Do not buy from them. Like, any of you board game geeks out there listening to the sound of my voice, do not do it. It's not worth it. Don't. There's a lot of people out there now that are making gaming tables. There's a lot of people who are selling. Like, I think, actually, Wood Whisperer, if you guys aren't familiar with him, Mark Spagnolo, I believe for about, like, $50, I think he actually sells, like, plans for a gaming table so you can build your own. I know not everybody has all, like, the tools and the skills to build your own gaming table, but there's options out there that are better than a company that treats its customers like this.
I've always found that it doesn't matter who it is, there's someone's dad who owns the tools to build a gaming table. Yes. Just find that dad, ask to borrow his tools, maybe invite him over for a beer. I don't know. But, like, you'll find the tools. Just look for the dad. You'll be fine.
Yeah, all kinds of dads, except for maybe not Ryan, but...
or my dad.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, dads of us.
And or older. Moms. I'm sure there are, you know, handy moms out there as well. So, like...
Definitely.
Yeah, I think that really sucks. And I'll tell you the same thing that my father-in-law told me the last time I had to deal with something like this, is that, like, it's a very... inexpensive lesson. Someone else has definitely learned a more expensive lesson, and you got your table, which is perfect, and you can make the best of it.
Yeah, we did get the table,
and you can
but yeah, it's like way too big. Like, when you're sitting down at it, you can barely reach to the middle of it, so I'm just like, this is gonna make for some interesting game nights. It's gonna be like, we're gonna have to get, like, shuffleboard things so that we can, like, push stuff down the length of the table. I
always wanted those, like, shuffleboard things, like, in the movies where they're, like, doing, like, war, like, planning, and they got you gotta get some of those.
We need some of those, yep.
Oh. I move my bishop across the table to C9 on the Western Front. I don't know.
I have no idea what game Ryan is playing in his head right now.
Battlefield. Or Battlefield, yeah. Yeah, you sunk my battleship. That's really cool. I'm glad you got your table. And again, like you said, like, you can make the best of it now that you actually have a table. And I think, like, you got your money's worth, right? Because it is the table. It is a table that you ordered. It's just something.
Yeah, more or less. There's just missing some pieces. So they are pieces we paid extra for. But at this point, I'm just like, okay... We ended up with a table.
Yeah.
What we really wanted was a table that had basically, like, a removable table top that we could put a game underneath. And then when we wanted to actually eat at the table, we just put the tops on the table.
And that's a feature.
And leave the game set up. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's really that's what we wanted. Right.
Well, then, yeah, that's really cool.
We do have that. It's just, it ended up not really saving us any money because the stuff, like, the Kickstarter discount was kind of negated by the stuff that they didn't send us. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sure you'll make the best of it. Can't wait to see it. Yeah.
It's going to be really cool. We're going to have some good game nights, so I'm excited.
Sweet. Can't wait. Yeah. Speaking of weird, funny stories, I've got a tale to spin about the PlayStation Classic. I was going to do, like, a great tales type setup, but really what it comes down to is I did not play the PlayStation Classic. I know, everybody.
Really?
I didn't. It sat on my desk for, like, 3 days over the weekend, and then I get an email. I subscribe to these subreddits, Video Game Deals Canada and the Amiibo Canada subreddit. And basically, anytime a new post pops up, I get a notification. You'd think that's annoying, but, like, it's really not, because most of the time it's, like, some sort of crazy deal. And the one that popped up was the fact that the PlayStation Classic was now $30 at Best Buy starting April 18th. And I said, well... man, that sucks. Like, it's $10, but it's still $10. And it got really bad reviews. So any amount of money I can save, I should save, right? So I'm thinking, like, okay, how can I do this? So I ask Ashley, and she's like, well, we could just return it, and then you can just get your... because you didn't open it, you just return it and get your one at Best Buy today, basically. So then I try to find the receipt. I can't find the receipt. So I was like, well, great. I never throw away the receipt. I couldn't find it anywhere. Ashley ended up having to go to Walmart and basically say, like, look, it's unopened. Can you just give us our money back? And they gave her the whole spiel. And then she still got the refund because, I don't know, she's a super mom. And I thank her profusely because today I'm getting ready at work for lunch. I'm going to go to Best Buy. I've already reserved it. So I just got to pick it up. $30. I get another notification. It's $20 at the source. And I'm like, these things are literally falling out of the sky. What is
that? Yeah, really.
So
And this is, guys, this is $20 Canadian, which means, like, you could probably walk in with an American $1 bill and they'd be like, here, take it.
Yeah. So $20 Canadian at the source. And I'm thinking to myself, like, well, okay, now I have to get it for 20. So I pack up my stuff. I leave work right away. I go down to the mall. There's like a couple left in stock. I get to the store and there's two clerks are sitting there talking about the PlayStation Classic. Sony's ears are probably burning because they haven't had this many people talk about this failed product since it launched or was announced, I guess. And I come in and I say, hey, I'm looking for the PlayStation Classic. I see one on the shelf. I'd like to buy it. And they're all like, what is with people coming in asking for these PlayStation Cloud? This is the third or fourth. Did you just call me and ask me to put this aside? I'm like, in like typical Ryan's too nice. No, I didn't do that. That wasn't me. So I was this close to like not getting one. It turns out he's like, oh, just sell it to him. He's here. Like, we're already sold through our stock, but he can have this one. So he cashes it in and he turns the other person. Well, this is the reason people are asking for them. They just got deep discounted to $20. And they launched at $120 Canadian. Mm-hmm. So like they fell, and that was in, I think, December, if not November. So it's only been 5 months. And man, the Super NES and the NES Classic, they held their value throughout. I don't think they were ever on sale. Like, they sold through almost instantly, right?
Yeah, I bought my brother one for his birthday last year, the Super Nintendo one, and it was still full price.
Yeah, yeah, and I think what's happening is, with those, I actually did see an NES Classic in the wild in a store, and I was kind of surprised to see that. But I had seen these in stock since they came out, and I kept thinking, oh, well, it's not enough to buy yet. It's not enough to buy yet. So I did get one. I got it like for like $23 with taxes. So I'm going to open this one because, I mean, at this point, they cannot lower the price anymore. Like, I think this effort
I'm
was
gonna
to
laugh
basically
so hard.
It
if
won't.
You get an, if you get an email that says, oh, guess what? PlayStation Classics on sale for $10.
Or like
a PlayStation Classic free when you walk through the door.
Well, some people were joking gift like
with purchase.
Yeah, people were joking like, well, I'm not gonna buy it until it's 15. But you know, a couple folks have made a good point in that, you know, they're deep discounting these. A lot of stores offer price matching, so they're probably people are I could have, if the source wouldn't have sold it to me, I could have gone down to Best Buy and picked up my reserve and say, hey, give it to me for 20, you know? So yeah. I think this is the point where they are basically going to go off the shelves. You're not going to be able to get one anymore. So if you are
but
looking for one of these,
seem
yeah.
It like people want them in the first place. So.
No, I mean, I was kind of content at 40. I figured like, okay, these are going to sell out at 40. Like they're going to go, but I did not see them going down to 20 in the case of a week. And really it's just out of curiosity and to have, like, I never owned a PlayStation, so a lot of the, like I said last week, a lot of these games I'm going to be playing for the first time. I know they're not their best versions, and it's not the best controller, but at the end of the day, it's a new experience, and I get to add it to my, you know, kind of sort of little collection. And it cost me, what, like a fifth of the price? A sixth of the price? So I think that's a pretty good deal. So next week...
That's a pretty sweet deal. That's like 80% off.
Yeah, exactly. So next week, I'll have booted it up, I'll have played it, and then we can talk about what it actually is, which is a mini console. But for now, it's just been this wild running around trying to get it at an even lower price. But yeah, I'll be really unhappy if I get a notification saying, like, yeah, it's $15 now, and you'll never be able to get it because it's sold out everywhere. But... Yeah, I'll check it out for next week. I think this is the week that I'll actually get to plug it in.
I'm so excited for you.
Yeah.
I'm also excited that there's a new Star Wars game that's been announced. So, I mean, well, I say I'm excited, but that was more for transition reasons because I'm not a huge Star Wars fan. So, Ryan, tell me about the new Star Wars game that's coming out and why you're excited.
Well, you know what? I'm not, like, super stoked either. Like, I think it's... Okay, full disclosure. I only put it in here because we didn't really have a lot of games to talk about, and this was news, and it was actually going to be our topic until they dropped details of the PlayStation 5. I think it's not really reaching because this is an important sort of look at EA as a publisher, in that Respawn, which is the guys behind Titanfall and Apex Legends, they're making this single-player only, no microtransactions Star Wars game So it's very much like this damage control effort by, I don't know whether it's Star Wars or EA or Respawn, to kind of say like, hey, we listened and we're going to put out this game and it's going to be exactly what you've been asking for. You know, we're putting...
So this is something different than the one that is supposed to come out this year, right?
No, this is the one coming out this year.
Oh, this is the one coming out this year. Oh, so it's
launching November 11th, I think, of this year. What's interesting is that they actually canned a game a couple years ago that was a single-player Star Wars-focused game. And there's some interesting stories out there about the developer or the director, Amy Hennig, talking about basically her reaction to this news that, you know, Star Wars is going to have a single-player, no microtransaction game. And she's kind of like, well, that sucks. Essentially what it boils down to. But this one's going to be focused on after episode 3, order kill all the Jedis. I think it's or execute order 66. I don't know. That's the only way you can say it.
Order kill all the Jedis. Yes, I'm sure that was the code name.
No, it wasn't the code name, but that's what it was. I mean, Emperor
Palpatine. No, I know. It's really funny just the way he says that. Like, ooh, so secret. No one will ever figure it out. Order, kill all the Jedis.
Yeah, they'll never figure it out.
That can't be what it really means, right?
No. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. It actually means give every Jedi a noogie with your lightsaber.
I thought you were going to say ice cream cone, and I don't know why I thought you were going to say that, but I just give every Jedi an ice cream cone.
That would have been fine. That would have been delicious. And also a great program. Probably better than killing all the Jedi, Jocelyn.
I was going to say, I think that was just in my head for some reason. The, like, polar opposite of killing all the Jedis was giving them ice cream.
Yeah, but then they all die of, really like, weird, brain freeze.
Oh, man. Anyway.
Yeah, we're off track here. But, so, what's cool about this game, have you ever watched Shameless?
I have not.
Okay, have you ever watched Gotham?
I think I watched the first... I want to say 3 episodes of Gotham, but definitely not actually into it. No, okay.
So the main character is played by one of the Shameless kids that I recognize him from Shameless. But it's the trailer we got is a very cinematic trailer. It looks like Star Wars story they're telling after Order 66 has been put in place by the Emperor. And you are a Jedi that's gone into hiding, and it's talking about the rules of survival, you know, basically like not...
So you do play as a Jedi.
You do play as a Jedi, but you're kind of in a time where Jedis are basically extinct, and you are hunted for even showing a connection to the Force. So it looks like it's going to be an interesting game, and I think the biggest thing here is that it's EA publishing a game that is totally not in EA's sort of wheelhouse, or what appears to be their wheelhouse, like a bloated, microtransaction-focused, kind of messy launch-type game. We don't know if this game is going to be good, but based on what they're talking about, they're specifically addressing some of the specific issues that a lot of people had with Battlefront 2. You know, specifically, you know, the issues a lot of people raised, including myself, about the whole microtransaction issue and loot crates and, you know, pay-to-win and all that fun stuff. So it's going to be interesting when this comes out. And I think a lot of people might look at this as like, oh, EA may not be so bad after all. But I think it really comes down to this might be proof that the developers have a lot more autonomy than people think they have under EA. So this might be more a developer making a better decision with a very expensive and lucrative IP than looking at other developers like BioWare and, you know, DICE and the way they've treated some of their
projects. I think that was kind of what came out of a lot of the news around BioWare with Anthem, right? Was that, like, it sounded a whole lot like Andromeda, and in the end, it wasn't EA's influence. It was BioWare making bad decisions. So I think you're right saying, you know, like, for so long we have blamed EA, and I don't necessarily think EA is blameless, but...
No.
I think a lot of the news that's come out lately is basically challenging that idea.
Yeah, there's a shared blame, I think, you know, with these type of scenarios, as is there as there always is with large projects, it's never one person or one department's fault. It might not even be one whole company's fault. It's probably a combination of things that have happened. And specifically with this game, while it was in development for a majority of it, Respawn was its own company. It just had a partnership with EA. And it wasn't until shortly before Apex Legends came out that EA actually bought Respawn. But that was more to avoid like a hostile takeover. So the developers at, or the owners of Respawn might have been able to, you know, haggle a better deal that provided them more autonomy. They were actually being, they were actually going to be purchased by Tencent. And EA was like, aha, no, these are our guys. You know, Tencent, the company that seems to be buying everybody and has a huge stake in Epic Games. So honestly, this could, would have been weird, but Apex Legends could have been converted into some kind of other game to exist on the platform that is the Fortnite platform as well. So it would have, it would have made for, it might not even come out actually at that point, but yeah, looking at this game, it's, the other interesting point is actually made on the Unreal Engine. So again, looking at like, oh, EA makes all their developers use Frostbite, which is an engine that really works well for soccer games and shooters, maybe not so well for third part,
for everything else.
Yeah. So yeah, they're going to be using Unreal, which is saying something, because it's an EA studio. And I guess Respawn, no, they just made the decision, like, we're going to use an engine that we know we can build a great game with. And that's the most important part. So I'm looking forward to it, cautiously optimistic. I don't think I want to like buy in right away. It certainly looks cool, but you know, being a single player only game, being Star Wars focused, there's got to be meat there, and I'm not seeing the meat. I'm not seeing the story. Basically, it just looks like a Jedi on the run, and there's not a lot of substance there.
But he had such a little adorable robot when he was sitting next to that fire.
He does have a robot. Yep.
I feel like the robots are the best part of Star Wars. I'm not going to lie.
They are. I mean, a lot of people would agree with you, and honestly, I think that one of the great things Star Wars has going for it is that I don't think there's a bad robot. Like, they have never designed a bad robot in that series.
C-3PO has his moments where he's a little bit annoying.
Okay, but that's the writing. That's not necessarily his fault. He has good moments. We don't talk about episode 2 where he basically like gets turned into a clone droid and then ends up fighting, and that's just not right. We won't bring that up again. But you're right. Actually, C-3PO might be a good example of a droid that has slipped into the dark side. No pun intended, but yeah, I'm gonna watch this one. I think we'll get more news probably at E3 for EA. And
well, yeah, I mean, if it's coming out in November, then we should expect a lot of news pretty soon, because I'm sure pre-orders are gonna start soon as well.
Yeah, and I agree with Tombstone in the chat, like, we're gonna have to wait for reviews on this one, and I will wait
are
for
you
reviews.
Sure?
I will. I'm not gonna do it. I have to wait for reviews on this one. I don't think I can take another one, another Anthem on the chin. So yeah, I'm gonna wait.
Fair enough. If you guys like the show and want to support us, you can go over to patreon.com/thegamersin. We're still looking for our April patron. So if you would like to be thanked for the month of April, then again, that is patreon.com/thegamersin. Which brings us to our topic of the week this week, which is, of course, the reveal of the next generation of PlayStation, which we're expecting to be the PlayStation 5. I don't think that they've actually named it the PlayStation 5, but come on.
They smiled shyly and said, next generation console.
Yeah.
Even though we have a bit of a track record on this one.
I was going to say, yeah, it's been, so there was just the PlayStation, then the 2, 3, 4. So if it wasn't the 5, that'd be kind of weird.
Yeah, I think it would be, it depends.
They're dropping the whole PlayStation thing in general, but I can't see why they do that.
No, yeah, the PlayStation brand is too.
Yeah.
It's like the Xbox. Like at a certain point, like you can't drop that branding. And I think maybe where they drop the 5 is if they really embrace the PC nature of things and just call it the PlayStation, and then it's like the iPhone. Although, wait, the iPhone has numbers, too.
No, the iPhone has numbers, yeah.
Never mind. Just call it the PlayStation 5. And they're probably still shopping it. They're like, we'll come back to the PlayStation 5, but let's explore these other 200 options first. And then they just end up going back to
the PlayStation 5. And then they end up on 5, yeah. But yeah, so this is next generation. So It's going to support 8K, not just 4K, 8K. So again,
I just got 4K. Oh my god.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. I was like, but our TV, we just got 4K TV. Like, really? But I guess the idea is that it supports 8K. And again, there's like no 8K content out there for mass consumption right now. So it has the ability to play it if eventually that becomes relevant. But it also has CPUs, and this is like super like tech stuff, guys. So
people will get it.
This probably means some stuff to you that it doesn't really mean to me. Basically, I see that it supports 8K, and I'm like, okay, so that means it has a really good CPU and a really good GPU, and that's basically all I need to know. But for you techie people out there, mm-hmm. CPU is based on AMD Ryzen, and they have a custom GPU, which is based on AMD Radeon Navi, which has ray tracing support, which is something we haven't seen a lot of in video games because there's not a whole lot of hardware that can actually do the heavy lifting. And ray tracing is like lighting, it's lighting tech, right? So it's supposed to be more accurate. It's supposed to give more accurate lighting because it enables I'm trying not to use the word tracing because I'm trying to explain it, not using the words that are in the name, but basically it's like the pathways of light through an environment are more accurately rendered. I did it.
You did it. And, you know, to be honest, I probably just would have said it traces the rays and we have support for that.
I was trying not to say that.
Because I don't know what's going on. And I was going to make a joke that if this was a Nintendo console, the graphics card would just, like, every so often say, hey, listen.
No? Oh, because okay. Navi. Yeah. I get it.
Slow news week, folks.
Yeah. So it has ray tracing support, which is tech that's used a whole lot in movies right now, but like I said, not a whole lot in video games. So I'm really wondering, because there's always something, and you can even see it in the trailer for the Star Wars game that we just talked about, Fallen Order. So there's always this kind of weird, like, effect on faces and sometimes on things that are wet where they just don't look quite right. Mm-hmm. And you can't really put your finger on it. It's not quite Uncanny Valley. I think we've gotten a little bit better, and we're not as Uncanny Valley as we used to be. But I'm wondering if this like more accurate lighting might help some of those issues to make things look a little bit more real, less video gamey.
Yeah, I think that I haven't looked at a lot of the demos, and I think ray tracing is one of those things that people are throwing around like, as a term, because I think Nvidia was leaning into it heavily, and now you see AMD doing it as well. And I think it's important to see progression and to see, you know, consoles kind of step up and use the same sort of terminology to describe their hardware. I think this shift from the PS3 era to the PS4, where they looked at more of a PC-based architecture, is very important because it's allowed those consoles to exist longer and has allowed for incremental steps like the PS4 Pro and the Xbox One X, where you can throw additional hardware into the box and upgrade it and also release a game that is compatible on both systems. So I think it's very important that we are seeing that continued trend with the next generation of the PlayStation. And we're just assuming that Xbox is going to do something very similar. I mean, they've all but confirmed that they are a PC-based company, right? So of course they're probably going to take their Xbox to the next level. It's very interesting to see Sony sort of doing the same thing, because usually what happens with these generations of hardware is that the company that's on top does something really stupid in the next generation, and the company that's failing does the really smart move. But to me, this is kind of looking like maybe Sony has had a level head with the next generation, because all of these decisions, you know, 8K is forward thinking, you know, AMD based tech is very important. We didn't mention this, but they're going to have a solid state drive in every one of these systems, which if you've ever gamed with a solid state drive, it's a world of difference. This is a very important step, and kind of almost on par with the Xbox, the original Xbox, those developers saying no hard drive in every system, like that was revolutionary at the time. And I think again, like PC people, like whatever, we build PCs. The first thing we put in is an SSD. But this is important for consoles.
It's big for a console. It's really big for a console, for sure. And the other really good decisions that Sony has made with this is that they're going to continue to support PSVR. So if you have a PSVR system that you're currently using with your PS4 or PS4 Pro, you'll be able to use it with your PlayStation next gen, whatever it ends up being called. But we'll just stick with the 5. We'll just keep calling it the 5. So PSVR will work with PlayStation 5. You won't have to buy a new one. And then also it's going to have backwards compatibility with PS4 games. So I'm kind of assuming if they're going to do backwards compatibility, this has to be kind of like tied to your account, right? So like if I log in with my PlayStation account on my new console and it's like, oh, here's all the PlayStation 4 games you own, then you can re-download them, because I have no physical like media at all. Like I have no discs of games for PlayStation. So it's got to be like account.
I would think so. I mean, it's not, this isn't that, it's the same thing with the Xbox One with 360 games, is that you can, if you own them, you just download them.
Yeah.
Now this is going to be the first generational leap where you've come from a very digital based console to the next one. So if they fumble on that one, I'd be really surprised if they fumbled on that. I think, yeah, it'll be the same store. It'll be PS4 games, because now when you're going through the store, you can, when you're on your PC, you can actually see all the PS3 games as well. So yeah, backwards compatibility with PS4 games actually opens up another interesting topic, in that offering backwards compatibility to PS4 games, which is technically like a full generation but also two halves of a generation, because you had that PS4 Pro jump. They actually say in the article, so this is all based on a Wired article, it's an exclusive that, you know, Sony gave to Wired, and they say, you know, you can expect a lot of generational sort of leaps where you've got games releasing on the PS4 and PS4 Pro hardware that are also compatible with the PS5. And I don't know whether that means it's going to be a Destiny thing where you buy a PS5 version, or you buy a PS4 version, or you just buy Destiny and you get it for, and it works on PS4 and PS5. You know, because on a PC, if I were to buy a new game and it's compatible with Windows 10 and Windows 11, let's say some future, if they do it 11, that you just buy it once and it works on both copies of Windows. You have to install it on both machines, but it still works.
Yeah.
Is it going to be like that? Or do I have to buy the version for that specific console? I'll be interested to see like what exclusives get announced for the PS5, but I'm kind of glad, and this is the last little tidbit, it's not coming out this year. I don't think I can buy a new console this year. Like, I'm kind of glad it's not coming out until next year, because I kind of want to see how this all shakes out, but I also don't want to drop $600, because you know that's what it's going to cost.
Yeah. And the other thing about it releasing next year is, like, I'm glad that they've announced it, and we've got, you know, at least we know it won't be this year. It probably will be 2020. Yeah. And that kind of helps me, like, informs my decision of whether I should get a PlayStation Pro or not. Now, like, I know there's a new one coming probably next year, so I'm not going to buy a PlayStation Pro. So, or PS4 Pro.
Yeah. Yeah, the only thing...
So, that makes me happy.
Yeah.
Saving all the monies.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be so pissed if I'd gone out a month ago and bought a PlayStation Pro, and then this news comes out, I'm like... Damn it. I knew that was going to happen.
You could still enjoy it, but here's the thing, like your PS4 Pro, if you have bought one recently and you're into the, you know, trading game, your PS4 Pro is going to have a significant higher trade-in value than your first your original PlayStation 4. So there is, you do have that going for you, but I do, you know, I'm, you know, being more of a PC gamer these days and as well as a Nintendo gamer, as always, I look at this and I'm kind of thinking like, this might be a reason not to buy right at launch, because if they're going to be releasing a bunch, there will obviously be some PS5 exclusives, but if a lot of the games coming out are going to be compatible with the other systems, am I really feeling like I need that extra jump in fidelity? Because we're not talking about the PS3 to the PS4. That was a big jump. You could tell the difference, but I don't think you're going to see a super huge jump right away between the PS4 and PS5. I think it's going to take a year.
Yeah.
To see
honestly,
that start.
I think, yeah, I'll probably, when they announce the release date for the PS5, the only thing that would get me to buy it right away is if Horizon Zero Dawn 2 is a launch title.
Yeah.
Because that, like, 2020, because Horizon Zero Dawn was early 2017, right?
Yes.
So sometime in 2020 would be about the timing of a sequel, I would think. So if that's the case, like, I would buy a Horizon Zero Dawn 2 PlayStation 5 bundle in a heartbeat. I wouldn't care if it was like $1,000. I'd be like, this is the best game that Sony's ever made. I love it. Well, but if it like came with the new console,
right,
branded all Horizon Zero Dawn-y with also the new Horizon Zero Dawn game, yeah, I'm on it. I'm here for it. Give it to me.
I mean, the game, so Horizon Zero Dawn 2 hasn't been announced, but it is happening.
They're working on it.
They're working on it. All but confirmed. It's a PS5 game. At this rate, like, you announce the PS5, you don't swan song the PS4 with the sequel to the number one new IP to launch on on this generation of hardware. I mean, I don't know. I just pulled that out of my butt. It might not be true, but it seems like it would
that
be.
Out of my butt.
Saying it out loud, it sounds true, does it not?
It does. It sounds super true. Yeah. And I'm going to just take you at your word because it's the best game ever. So
it was really good. And I came to it late. And I was just about to ask, like, if Horizon Zero Dawn 2, like, and it's not a, let's say it's a generational leap one where it's compatible with your PS4 as well. Do you fork over the extra funds to, or do you wait and see like the graphical differences between the PS4?
Oh no, you absolutely fork it over.
You just get the PS5.
100%. You get the PS5. 100%.
Okay. Yeah. So you said your game, what's
especially
mine?
Since, so I have a PS4. I don't have the Pro.
Yeah.
I got my PlayStation, fairly early on. I got a Last of Us bundle, so by the time it's an old first like iteration PlayStation, so and that's why I say, like, if I had bought the PlayStation more recently, or if I'd bought a Pro, then I might hold off, because I think the PlayStation Pro to PlayStation 5, that transition is going to be a lot smaller. So I could definitely see people with PlayStation Pros maybe not jumping to the 5
right away.
But
yeah,
for me, like, I'm going to see a big, big performance difference between my old PS4 and the PS5.
And I'm not saying, you know, like, look, the hardware is definitely different. The PS5 is definitely going to have a boost, a very big boost in hardware. I'm saying eventually you're going to see like a large jump, but I think day one it's going to be hit and miss. Like, there's going to be some PS4 type upgrades where it's like it's very minimal, but there will obviously be some games that really showcase the power. It just depends on which ones those are. And I mean, looking at the release calendar, there are still some hefty, you know, first party titles for the PlayStation that have not released yet. You've got Last of Us Part 2, Death Stranding, which I'd rather watch that one from afar. And what was the other one?
Yeah, Death Stranding's an interesting one, because that's another one that we haven't heard a whole lot of about. I mean, we just keep getting like teaser after teaser after teaser, but we don't have any release date, so it's probably still not coming out this year. So then, yeah, I would assume Death Stranding is going to come out as one of the launch titles, possibly, for this PlayStation 5, and be available on both PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5, because I don't think that they could tease us with this Death Stranding for so long and then only make it available on the new console.
Yeah.
Like, it is a PlayStation 4 title, right?
It is, yeah, it's a PlayStation 4 title, but like, that's the thing for me, like, Last of Us Part 2 hasn't had a release date. They haven't announced it. They actually tweeted that they finished their mocap, which means they've still got quite a bit more to go. So if that game, I doubt that game's a PS5 exclusive, but if that game's one that launches and like, hey, it's compatible with PS4, but it's also got some really hefty upgrades for PS5, that might be tempting. But again, I'd have to see the difference between the two, because it looks amazing on PS4, but you're right. I have a launch hardware. That thing like sounds like a helicopter taking off every time you play something. You know, like Red Dead, it was bad.
Yeah, mine was really bad for Red Dead. And then also, mine has a, like, not straight up trouble turning on, but it's like it just doesn't like going to sleep and waking up again, which I mean, who can't relate with that, right? Like
back, I'm getting kind of so like, old.
Yeah, when I try to wake it up, it's like, I don't feel like it. Leave
10 more minutes.
Yeah, exactly. It's like trying to, it's like hitting me in the face, trying to snooze me. And I'm like, no, PlayStation, I don't want to wait 10 minutes. Wake up now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know how, like, if that issue is actually going to persist or, you know, what it's doing. But basically, it's like every time my PlayStation goes to sleep, it thinks it's been shut down improperly. So, you know, the message that you get when it's like you've had a power outage or you unplug it without shutting it down or whatever. And then it pops up and gives you that like finger wag message. Like, yes. How dare you? You didn't do this properly. We have to check our systems now when we know that they don't actually have to check their systems.
But... how dare you? We have to rebuild the database, you filthy bastards.
Exactly.
It's just Mr. Rossetti pops up and he just gets super angry at you.
So yeah, mine basically gives me that screen and does that every time I let it fall asleep. So it's like it's falling asleep and then turning itself totally off and then not wanting to turn on again. And then when it does, it's like, ugh. we have to check our systems.
Yeah. Do you have an energy saving power bar or something? Sometimes those, like when they detect a low power, they might just shut it off.
So. Yeah, I don't think so. I do downstairs. I don't think I do upstairs, but. You're right. That yeah, maybe it's that. Maybe all this time I thought it was the problem with the PlayStation, but really it's that it is being shut off improperly by the power bar.
Plugged into your hippie power bar.
Yeah.
Power saving. Some guy came. We did an energy thing and an energy program. He comes in and is like, he's showing us his power bar. It's a really nice power bar. It's huge, lots of outlets. And I'm telling him like, okay, where do I plug in my stuff that I want just constant power? And he's like, well, it's an energy saving power bar. Like, we don't
do that.
We don't really do that. I'm like, well, is there an option to just tell it to not save energy? it's like, dude, like, we're trying to save the environment here. It's like, yeah, but I don't want to rebuild my database every time. This guy doesn't get it.
I don't want my PlayStation to wag its finger at me.
No, this is a very interesting. I know every PC gamer is out there is like, welcome to our world. Like, it's all about incremental jumps now. And I really need to see the games for that's the most important thing. I bought an Xbox One like a year and a half after launch because I had to wait for the game and it was Halo 5 and that didn't really pan out. But, you know, I'm excited to see what PlayStation does. I'm excited to see how they treat this sort of this generation, you know, transition, what games kind of, you know, lay over the generation and see whether is it patches? Is it different versions? We just need more game information. And Microsoft.
The information that we have so far, though, about the hardware and about the things that they're doing, like their backwards compatibility, I agree with you 100%. It seems like they are making all of the best decisions, and they're not taking their position at the top of the console game right now for granted at all.
Yeah. Oh, this is all great news, and it just makes me more excited to hear more, which we might hear after E3 or during E3. They're not going to be at
E3. They're not going to be at E3, right? Yeah. No. So.
They might do like that state of play thing that they sort of tested out about a month ago. So maybe we'll see something like that. This actually surprised me. I did not expect to get like this article where they basically lay it out, but I think it was sort of to get the first shot out there because Microsoft on the same day basically said like, hey, yeah, but we'll be at E3 and we're going to tell you all the cool stuff about Xbox.
Yeah.
So there's talk that Microsoft is actually going to unveil their next generation plans in June. So by July, we might know a lot more about the next generation of hardware, even from Nintendo. I mean, there's been rumors about Nintendo unveiling like a new version of the Switch that maybe plays around with a new form factor, mostly handheld maybe, I don't know. But we won't have long to wait. I think E3 is in like 2 months, less than 2 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exciting.
It is very exciting. That's pretty much going to do it for us tonight. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you'd like to join the conversation in between episodes, you can do so by joining our Discord, which is bit.ly/TGI Discord. We have a lot of great conversations going on over there, as well as support for many of the shows that are also part of the TGI Studios network. So if you guys listen to Gent, if you listen to Shipwrecks and Shanties back in the day, or if you listen to Summoner's Call, the Fire Emblem Heroes podcast, all of those conversations are had over on the Discord. Again, that's bit.ly/TGI Discord. If you'd like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn of Joss Plays. Ryan is Nar Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes are streamed on Thursdays on twitch.tv/TheGamersInn and are available after the fact over on Twitch. If you'd like to email the show and let us know what you think about PlayStation's new announcement, you can do so at info@GamersInPodcast.com. Thanks for staying at The Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week.
Bye, everyone.